Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. So if you're listening on a Wednesday morning, you can join us live in the chat room. The studio cam is on, and we're going to talk about, in the first hour, likely current events, news, commentary, a biblical prophecy worldview on those things, if possible. And in the second hour, we're likely going to dive a little deeper into the revelation and prophecy itself. So come on over if you can. If not, just keep listening right where you're at. All right. Well, let's see. Let me check out my mailbox here and see if we have any Babylon Bee this morning. Might as well start with that and see what they have here. Media admits they lied about that Russia collusion thing, but are totally telling the truth about everything else. Well, it's really spinning around in the mainstream media world today. And I just heard on the news, if you were listening to the news preceding this broadcast, how embarrassed sounding the Obama administration, Obama administration is sounding, and backing away and saying the Justice Department. But I think we ought to redefine that term from justice to just us, because that's what it seems the Justice Department is. Not about us, and it's not about justice, but if you are in power in Washington, D.C., then you could say it's just about us. It's the Just Us Department. The corruption is coming to the surface. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that I've been praying for many years, that the corruption would come to the surface and be plain for everyone to see. But something's got to happen with all this coming to the surface. But finally, Donald Trump was wrongly drummed out of office, even while in his term. It was a coup. And January 6th was not the coup. The coup was going on since the very beginning, since 2016, when Donald Trump was brought into office. That's when the real coup began and continued to the very day. Even after he left office, they were still trying to impeach him and prosecute him so that he could never get into office again. Yeah, it's something else. And if nothing else, I think that it may be this very thing that gets Trump back into office. And I have a sneaking suspicion that, you know, maybe there won't be a lot of Marxist, progressive liberals that will ever vote for Trump. But I think that there's a lot of old school liberals, you know, the true historical liberals, people kind of like Robert Kennedy Jr., yeah, those kind of liberals would actually vote for Trump. But actually, they do have a choice. And if I'm right, then they will vote for Robert Kennedy Jr. But that the other thing is, as it still continues on, is will they be allowed to cheat again? We've watched the last two elections with their over-the-top cheating. And despite all of their denial and trying to prosecute and persecute everyone who points at the reality of the cheating that went on, doesn't mean that they're not going to cheat again. So we just have to keep an eye on those things. Yeah. So I don't know what else to say. I mean, I don't really have a preference. God already knows who's going to get into office. I think the best thing that especially God's people or anyone could do, you know, is repent and submit yourself to the instruction of the Holy Spirit, because that's the first thing The first job of the Holy Spirit is to convict of sin, and then our proper response to that conviction would be to repent of that sin. And that's an ongoing process throughout our entire lifetime. Now, sorry for all of you out there who think that you can achieve some type of sinless perfection before you leave this life. It ain't going to happen. There was only one who achieved sinless perfection, and that's because he was born in sinless perfection, and he never sinned. Yeah, so you can't achieve sinless perfection if you've already sinned. And if you think you have, well, then you are self-deceived. That's all I can say. And what do you need God for if you've achieved sinless perfection? What do you need Jesus's propitiatory sacrifice for if you're already perfect? You could stand on your own 2 feet before God Almighty and just tell him why you deserve to be there. I almost cringed the other day, and I don't know if anyone out here knows what's his name? Rick Wiles on True News. I caught an episode of his last, he's now decrying the news again as wallowing in the filth of the world. And why would he want to do that? So he wants to change it up again. He doesn't want to do the work that he's been given to do because he feels like it's filthy, because he expresses that he doesn't want to stand before God and go, I did the news. Well, you know what? I'm going to stand before God, and whether it's the news or turning a wrench under an automobile or dragging a plow through a field, whatever it is, I'm going to stand before God and said, I did what you gave me to do in this life. Because the fact is this, you know, I can't stand, because he wants to stand before God and say, I led people to Christ or something like that, or I started a micro church movement or whatever, you know, thing that people think that God needs them to do. Well, here's the good news, and the bad news for those that don't know otherwise, but that's even good news for anyone. So it's really good news for those that love repentance, and it's bad news for those that will never repent. The bad news and good news, it's both. Is it God doesn't need you? Yeah. God doesn't need me to sit here and do this. God doesn't need any of us. When I stand before Christ, I'm not going to say what I did. You know, sorry, Lord, I hated doing the news, so I had to do something else. No, I'm going to say thank you that for allowing me to do anything in your kingdom that would bring glory to you. Thank you for allowing me, because I know that God doesn't need me to do anything. It is a privilege to do anything for God and his kingdom, because we cannot do it on our own power, and we can't stand before God and go, look what I did this and I did that. Because Jesus even talked directly about people who are going to stand before him in that day and try to tell him what they did to earn their place there, okay? And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That's a pretty scary thought. Okay, let's see if we actually have a call here. Your name and where you're calling from? Ah, yeah. Boy, I must have been getting a little preachy there or something. My ghost caller had to interrupt me. But anyway, I completed that thought successfully. Let's see. Good to see you in the room there. Darkija. And I wonder if I'd like his real name better than his moniker. And Stephen, it's good to see you there, brother. Says, I've been trying to find work, just enough so far to sustain, which is perfect. Yeah, hey, me too, you know, because sometimes I wonder, you know, because at the beginning of this year, I took a $500 cut. I should say First Amendment Radio took a $500 cut at the beginning, the first month of the year, because we lost our support from financial survival. And I still play their program 4 days a week at least. And because it's a good program, you know, and I like to, you know, I like the program content, but they're not paying me to do it anymore. So I don't have an allegiance to them as far as anything other than Melody Cederstrom is a upright and honest and forthright gold and silver dealer. And I believe you're going to get more from your money from her than anyone else. And here I am practically just telling you the truth, you know. And there are other good people out there, too. You know, I've listened to the guy that advertises on David Knight's show. He seems like a pretty good guy, too. So, you know, there are good dealers out there. Take your choice. But mention First Amendment Radio, even though they're not paying us. Still, if you hear about them here, mention that you heard about them on First Amendment Radio. Yeah. Because Melody did support us for over 20 years. Yeah, every month or over 20 years. So really appreciate that. But so anyway, we need help here as far as support. So if the Holy Spirit, if you feel like God is leading you to support First Amendment Radio and the work we're doing here, then you should do that without objection. You should do it as fast as you can because we really need it. But if he's not, then we really don't need your money. You know, give it where God wants you to give it. If you're giving nowhere, then you've got a problem with your finances already. And, yeah, you better straighten that out with the Almighty. Unless you're giving your whole life to God and you have no money. But there are other ways you can help too. You can spread the word, put links on social media, send on, you know, get First Amendment Radio Mobi app or link on your Surface and then send it to everybody in your phone book, so to speak. Things like that. You can do stuff like that for us anyway. Yeah, it's not always about money. Yeah. Well, hopefully it's never about money, even though money is a necessary tool. Okay, well, let's see what else we got here. The media lied. Okay. Yeah, but tells the truth about everything else. That's your Babylon Bee take there. See, Dad punishes misbehaving son by giving him Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah, that's because they have a transgender on the cover now, I think. I think I heard that somewhere during a news broadcast and it kind of stuck in my mind. Not really, but it does kind of come to the surface there. So the world is very sick. Of course, that's why it's the world. And yeah, we are in the world, but not of it. Okay, that looks like a new Christian movies video. Kirk Cameron pitches exciting new Christian movie ideas. That's just a pictograph, nothing there. Yeah, you know, like the truth or the historical revelation, that would be that would be a series. I mean, it would take years. At least seven, let's do seven seasons. Yeah. Yeah. Or at least three seasons. One for each, part of the each chronology presented in the, revelation. Yeah. Well, actually, there's more than three chronologies. You know, you have the seals, which in 96 AD, which would be shortly come to pass because they were first. And a lot of people are confused about the way the Bible is constructed, the revelation is constructed, because the seventh seal opens up the next series of the trumpet judgments. And the seventh trumpet opens up the next series of the vial or bowl judgments. Okay. So there should be no confusion because there's a lot of people go, oh, they all run in parallel. No, they don't. Not if the last one of the first two opens up the next series. It obviously can't be anything but consecutive, one after the other. So you have the first series as a seal, and that's the way they appear in the Bible too, logically. And if the seventh seal opens up the next series judgments being the trumpet judgments, then, you know, it obviously follows. It doesn't go back and run parallel. So that would be quite a series. And to go, say, use the Horae Apocalypticae and start from the beginning. And that's a great idea. And I would love to, you know, advise on something like that. As far as doing a series, a professional type series, to unveil the revelation as a historical documentary up until the day we're in. Because we're already now to the pouring out of the seventh vial of the last of the three series of seven judgments. And of course, after that is the millennium. You know, well, of course, we have the last trumpet, which is still to come. That's when Jesus arrives. And then following that, we have the millennial reign of Christ, which is the last millennium of this creation era. So that would be great, yeah, to see something like that and help people understand the revelation, how it is tied with history. It can't be like, you know, this left behind and all these people that are still waiting and thinking that that the first vial is going to open when Jesus returns for a pre-tribulation secret rapture. That cannot be, because how can that be when the Bible explicitly says that the future things that were going to be revealed, beginning with the opening of the first seal, would shortly come to pass as to the commencement of those future things. Of course, they would play out over the several thousand years between 95 AD, well, almost 2,000 years, between 95 AD and when Christ returns. So they didn't all have to shortly come to pass immediately as to everything in the book, but as to their commencement is the logical way to think about it. Because that's the way it played out, or the way it is laid out, and the way it has played out in in the history of the thing. And we see that we have that great work, the Horae Apocalypticae, which I believe that our good friend who was the author of that, E.B. Eliot, did an adequate job on everything up and through the very beginning of, you know, the French Revolution and the sixth vial. But he didn't get to the seventh vial. The seventh vial, I don't believe, was poured out until the 20th century. And it's kind of interesting that it was poured out into the air. Here I am getting into prophecy already and bypassing the news. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the second hour. Let's see what else we have, anything else from... Okay, Lutheran man clarifies he's one of those weird ones who believes the Bible. Yes, I would like to clarify. Obviously, I am one of those weird ones that believes the Bible. And I also believe that we're almost 6,000 years in since creation began. We're just about to complete the sixth millennium, we'll put it that way. And the seventh millennium is about to begin. And as far as I can tell, as far as I've been able to calculate the chronology of things, is that it will be about the year 2055. I don't know exactly when. I'm hoping it's sooner than that because, you know, I'm already in my 70th year, and 2055, I will have to be how old? 102 in that year. And I don't know if I'm going to make it that long. 70 is a challenge. Just coming on my 70th year here. Yeah, it seems like that getting old is a real thing. It's weird. Okay, moving on. Let's see. What else do we got here? Local Moblin relaxing by campfire, slain by wandering psychopath. I have no idea what that means, but I'm sure that there's people out there that know what that's a reference to. But it's some kind of, yeah. Okay. SNL beats writer's strike with popular host who can ad-lib for hours. Yeah, only he's not that funny, is he? Yeah, he could have been a stand-up comedian in another life, right? But I don't think there are any billionaire stand-up comedians. So, but yeah, that's quite a thought. Donald Trump is a stand-up comic. It seems like he would be good at it because he could just go on for hours and hours. It's something Joe Biden could never do, even from his basement. Even with a teleprompter. Obviously, Trump doesn't even need... Does he use a teleprompter? Well, maybe he does. I don't know. It's nice to have something to spark to get the thing going once in a while. Okay, let's see. What else we got here? Kid playing Battleship discovers unstoppable strategy of not putting ships on the board. Yeah, my grandson loved that game. I didn't like it. I just, you can't battle an enemy you can't see. So it's, I guess it's all in the mind, but even chess is not like that. At least in chess, all the pieces are there on the board. I like that, being able to see everything. And if there's any secrets going on, they're in your mind. Any chess players out there? It's hard to find someone I can beat these days. I mean, I can't beat. That's what I meant to say. So it gets very boring after a while. Yeah, it seems like not many people are into doing hard things anymore. Okay, well, that's all we got from the Babylon Bee. And oops, it looks like I accidentally closed my other tabs there on my news tabs. But I do have other stuff here. Here's another one. Speaking of money, I don't know how many of you caught the last hour, the previous hour to this one. I was on with Tom Press, and that series was done in 2011, I believe. It was either, 2011, so that's 12 years ago. But I was listening to it, and I was, gosh, you know, I said all those things back then, and I'm still saying a lot of the same things today. Yeah. But anyway, it was a pretty good broadcast, if I must say so myself. It was a lot of fun working with Tom when he was with First Amendment Radio. Okay. Let's see. How big is Joe Biden's Social Security check? Yeah. You know how into Social Security I am, especially being in my 70th year. I was thinking, man, you know what? No, Lord, I'm not going down to the Social Security office and applying for Social Security. First, I'd have to do what I said I wouldn't do in the last hour 12 years ago, and that's give them a number. And, because I don't have a contract with them, and I'm not going to give them the contract number that they put out there for me, because, it's a one-sided contract. You ever have a contract where they can change the rules, but you must keep? You must keep the rules that you agree to, or the rules that they come up with in the future, because you agreed that they can change the contract anytime they want, and you have to go along with it? Oh, what a contract, huh? Sounds like a slavery contract to me. Anyway, I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host. Cause. and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there, or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. I hope everything is technically in good shape out here. It's good to see we have people listening on, on Rumble, as well as whatever other channels we're on. I got some questions in the chat room from you. I don't know who you is, but if you press on the little green people icon on the chat room there, you will be able to change you into your name, and then I can say instead of saying you. But those are good questions, and those are questions which I've answered before, and obviously you haven't heard the answers, and what you're saying is true. The statement there, the image of the beast did not exist during the French Revolution. True. Okay? The image of the beast causes them that dwell on the earth to receive a mark in their, it doesn't say the mark, but a mark in their right hand, their forehead, that in order to buy or sell. That's true too. And he says, how could the plagues have been poured out in the past when the first plague falls on those who receive the mark of the beast? Okay, well, I think I have an idea of what that is a reference to. Okay, as long as there have been a beast, someone can be marked as worshiping the beast. Now, I believe that the Bible explicitly shows us two different, a different era at the end where there's a mark of the beast in order to buy and sell. And this mark is given to everyone except those who will not receive it, right? Okay. So we see that in chapter 13 of the Revelation, the very end of that chapter, and that it's in conjunction with the second beast that creates the image, or the earth beast that creates the image, and it's in conjunction with that image of the beast. And so that's the era that we're in now. And pretty soon we can see a mark of the beast inquisition coming. But that doesn't mean that people in the past did not have a mark of the beast, because if someone was worshiping images in your local Catholic church, that would be said to be a mark of the beast. Okay? If even today, like, you have people out there, God's law says one thing. You know, God's law tells us what a marriage is, and God gives a license to certain people to marry. And they're always a man marrying a woman, or a woman marrying a man. It's never otherwise by God's law. And God's very Bible gives us that license to marry. We don't need a license from the state to marry. But now, there are men who want to marry men. They can't get a license from God, because the Bible definitely decries anything like that as an abomination and as abhorrent, and would be without his kingdom. So anyone taking advantage of that license, anyone who would put the laws of man above the law of God, would be said to have a mark of the beast. Okay? So, a lot of people are stuck on the mark of the beast is only that what is described at the very end of Revelation chapter 13 as being necessary to buy and sell in the world's monetary system at the very end. And surely that is the final phase, if you want to call it a phase, of the mark of the beast, where it's something that is going to perhaps be attempted to be forcibly given to every man, woman, and child on the whole planet in order to participate in the monetary system. And that's what I've been protesting against for, what is it, 20, is it the, that been now? 30 years now, yeah. And since the early 1990s, when I put off the number of a mark of a beast that was required in America to participate in banking privileges. So that's the way I looked at it. If there's a mark and it has something to do with banking privileges and monetary and working and buying and selling and even buying and selling your labor, then that's something that should not be forced on anyone. Because if they force it and say you got to have it, then it is the mark of the beast spoken of in Revelation. So there is a mark of the beast, and then there is what we call the mark of the beast, referring to that final form. So yes, those judgments that fell upon those that had the mark of the beast, and that reference to it is in the past and has already happened, and that did happen in history. And if you read the Hori Apocalypticae, you would understand that. But it's a big book, and it's a long book, and most people can't get through it. It's a chore. Yeah, I believe that. So anyway, I hope that you find that satisfactory there in the chat room, whoever you are. Anyway, we were talking about before I left, so I will answer your questions if they come up in the chat room or if someone calls, whatever. Try to take care of it. But that's how I see that. And that's how the image of the beast didn't exist during the French Revolution. True. So you're right on there on those things. But the assumption that the mark of the beast didn't exist, well, there's always been marks that you belong to the beast for those that do. Your name and where you're calling from? Gee, interruption number two, so soon. Okay, so anyway, I have this article here, and that's how we started on this, so we're going to finish it, if I can find it. Oh, here it is. This one is, how big is Joe Biden's Social Security check? Yeah, take a look. Now, I think it's unconscionable for a man who has this much money to take a check from the government when he knows better than anyone else that the government is going to have to borrow the American people are going to have to borrow this money so that he can have another, you know, little bit of money comparatively to the money that he already gets, because, you know, we know what a dishonest thief he is, and he's become rich through his dishonesty. But he has a $400,000 plus salary from the government for being the president. Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about it. Last month, Social Security celebrated its 87th birthday since being signed into law. Okay. Today, more than 48 million retired workers are receiving a monthly check that averages $1,670 as of July. While this might not sound like a lot, especially with inflation, Social Security plays a key role in helping recipients make ends meet. And I'm sure it helps Joe Biden make ends meet, right? According to National Pollster Gallup, 89% of surveyed retirees count on Social Security as a major or minor source of income. Which is it? A major or minor? This means only about 1 in 10 Americans aren't reliant on Social Security income during retirement. 1 in 10 Americans aren't reliant. I'm not reliant. I would probably be in the 1% that refuse to even get it or apply for it. Yeah. President Joe Biden happens to fall into this exclusive club. Yeah, he's not relying on it. He doesn't need it. Here's how much Social Security income Joe Biden is receiving. Since the 70s, they don't go on. While there are numerous income streams to note on President Biden's tax return, which is jointly filed with his wife, Jill, eye-popping income figures to note can be found on, yeah. For those who aren't tax professionals, line 6A is where the individual couple filing jointly would list the amount of Social Security benefits they received in previous calendar tax year. Last year, the Bidens claimed $54,665 in Social Security income on a joint basis, which works out to $4,555 each month. Now, I don't even have half of that much coming in each month here on my ranch, and for me and my daughter who live here and work here at First Amendment Radio full-time, basically. Well, I'm the one who works full-time. My daughter doesn't work full-time. She's a young person and likes her freedom that she's enjoying at the age of 22, my youngest daughter, that is. So even taking in account that this $4,555 figure is the combination of Jill and Joe's monthly payout, so they jointly get that much, this is well above what the average retired worker brings home each month from Social Security. See, Social Security would be like, that would be like gravy. That, I mean, to have that kind of income securely coming in each month, I can see why people fall for this temptation. And that's what I call it. People will go, well, I deserve it. I paid into it. Well, I guess. But what about, when they say in 2033 when it comes to an end? Or how about when the American economy, which is crashing right now, when it comes to total crash, what are you going to do then? I mean, my object for 30 years, I've been looking not forward to retiring, but forward to, being enough ahead of in the financial field that it wouldn't hurt so much if my income dropped off to practically nothing like it has, right? So I I've made certain provisions for myself and my family to be taken care of, and I want that to be, for until Christ comes anyway, something that is carried on in my family, even like if I were to die next year or 5 years, that this property, that my family property would be continued to provide that kind of security. But really, there is no security. We could have, someone could drop a nuclear bomb here or something, or we could be invaded by the Chinese or whatever. Because beyond what America, as the as the two-horned earth beast of Revelation chapter 13, the seventh beast of the Revelation, has already fulfilled everything prescribed for it in the Revelation. There's nothing left for America to do as far as what has been laid out in the Revelation for it to do. It's done those things. So the two-horned earth beast has done the things that it was supposed to do, and there's nothing left that it needs to fulfill in the prophecy. The end is not foretold. There's no judgment laid out explicitly for the two-horned earth beast in the Revelation, because it's not the false prophet. A beast is not an individual, okay? A beast is a governing authority over a certain locality in the earth. And that is if the Bible on apocalyptic terminology is consistent. And it must be, because it's God's word. There has to be some consistency there. Otherwise, we're just guessing at everything. And so what God has given us consistently about the beast powers. That's why I wrote this work, The Beast Apocalyptic, to sort that out from exactly and only what the Bible says itself, what we can learn about what is a beast power. And it's quite an, I think it's a, if you really want to understand the Revelation, it's a book that everyone should have in their library, because if you, it will change, what you think about the Revelation by clarifying, as the subtitle says, it's an exposition of the apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel in the Revelation. If you have no other book to help you with the Revelation, it should be this one. This one answers the questions, even the questions that appeared in the chat room this morning from a person calling themselves you. Yeah, I don't know why it's so difficult for people to stumble over that. But if you change it on your computer once, then every time you come back, it'll be your name, as it won't be you if you change it. So anyway, I'd like to hear from you in the chat room. And if I haven't satisfactorily answered the questions you put up there, then please clarify what else, you know, what's lacking in my answer, because I would like to, you know, to help out with your understanding of the Revelation in any way possible, okay? But anyway, getting back to this article on the Social Security issue. Now, we had a president that they drummed out of office illegally by insurrection. The true insurrection. And that's the conclusion a lot of people, even liberals and all people, all honest people alike are coming to, that we did have an insurrection and it was run by the progressive Marxist Democrats under the influence of the Antichrist, who is alive and well in the world. And, that's another tenet that we stand on, that we know who the Antichrist is, and we've known who the Antichrist is for 500 years as a church, and some areas of the church even before that, some of the, during the Dark Ages, the two witness era, when the witnesses were so few in the world, there were some that were beginning or did recognize who the man of sin was, and that the papacy was the seat that the man sits in the visible church on the earth, vicariously proclaiming and taking to himself the attributes of God Almighty and putting himself even above God's word. Yeah. So there it is for you. They have, this article goes on. Yeah. We had that president, Donald Trump, who would not even take the presidential salary, but I don't know whether he gave it to charity or what, but because the guy was a billionaire, right? Or supposedly still is a billionaire, not as rich as he was before he became president. Meaning what? He didn't have the Joe Biden crime family as his business. His business was building buildings and casinos and stuff like that. Okay. And I got a lot of people, I hear a lot of people crying about Donald Trump and what a wicked man he is and all this stuff. But what, do you really think we're going to get a Christian into office? Even if you read the Old Testament, you'll find out that God used wicked, ungodly men to fulfill his purpose for his nation, church nation Israel, back before Christ appeared. Okay? God uses wicked rulers in the world, and that's about the best we can hope for in the world. Because no Christian is going to go into that office. You have to have compromised minds to even want to go there, I would think. And plus, we're nearly toward the end. It's all laid out, except for, like I said, what happens to America has already been decided by Scripture, and what has already been decided by Scripture that America is going to do has already been fulfilled. It's created the image of the beast. It's already been the police power of the world, and it's exercised all the power of the beast before it. It's already done that. Does this mean it's going to continue to do that to the end? Well, it doesn't say it is, and it doesn't say it isn't. It only says that it would do it. Okay? So where does that leave it? It leaves it where we don't know. So that means that we should do everything we can to keep this land as free as we can, to continue to fight back against the beast powers of the world, against that dragon-speaking horn power that I believe is ensconced over there in Washington, D.C., one of the city states of the world. Yeah. And that's something I want to talk a little bit more about in the next hour. Okay, well, I guess you in the chat room is satisfied because he hasn't come back with any questions. And like I said, it's all laid out if you go to horeapocalyptike.wordpress.com on the section on the Mark of the Beast. Yeah, I might even go there myself if I can find my links to it. Oh, other bookmarks. There we go. You go to the Horror A here. Go to, well, any, I think that would be in Volume 3. Would that be in Volume? Yeah, I think it's the last chapter of Volume 3 that has, it's the ninth, not the last, but the ninth one. Chapter 9 is The Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. You click on that, it's Section 4. So I would scroll down to Section 4 here of this the Earth Beast chapter. Oops, I think I passed it. No, I didn't pass it, because that's the image of the beast there. And there's a lot of information here. If you really want to go in deep, and speaking of the Mark of the Beast, implementation, I guess I did already pass that up. Okay. Yeah. I guess I should have had this already queued up. Nope. Yeah, it's too bad. Oh, yeah, I did pass it. The Mark of the Beast in its final form. And, upon the introduction. Yeah. Well, there I have in there, you can see the Economist magazine article from 1988, Get Ready for a World Currency. Yeah. We have seen in the pre-Reformation and Reformation history the enforcement of prohibitions, confiscations, and forfeiture of life, liberty, and property against hundreds of millions of those whom that great apostate church deemed to be heretics. We notice that this same beast with the mark, number, and name is given new life, perhaps somewhat clandestinely, when the wounded head is healed and regains control of or rides the beast, and how that when her past judgment and wounding came, such judgment fell upon those which had the mark of the beast, as well as the seed of the beast, and that was during the French Revolution. Was the first plague limited? You know, you have to can't just keep saying first plague. You have to give me which judgment was that? What verse of the Revelation, so we can zero in on that? But I do thank you for the question. Was the first plague limited to Catholics? Well, if it was limited to those that had the mark of the beast at that era, and it fell on the seat of the beast, which we know did happen during the French Revolution, that judgment fell on the seat of the beast because the Vatican was sacked and the Pope taken captive and carried off and put in prison in France, I believe. I can't remember the exact details, but you're probably, it sounds like from your questions, that you're familiar with the history. And so those that had the mark of the beast, not the same mark of the beast to buy or sell that's going to be worldwide later on, as expressed at the very end of chapter 13, but the mark of the beast as that they did things that conveyed their worship of the beast and of the and of those images of the beast, because there were prior images, because they did worship images, but it wasn't the same image construct that was built of the beast itself. So there's always been images. It's written here, but here in conjunction with the earth beast and the image, a peculiarity and a universal requirement for the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell would seem to bring about a worldwide condition where the Antichrist will dominate or supplant all of the monetary systems of the entire world so that he could exclude those who will not capitulate or choose to live in obedience or those who choose to live in obedience to the true gospel of the Christ and his kingdom from his universal system of buying and selling. Anyway, here's our break. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. And I'm Nicholas. And this hour, we're going to pretty much stick to the prophecy. We have some more questions. And I want to thank whoever you is in the chat room here for bringing these questions. Because I think we do need to go through this. He brings up Revelation chapter 16, verse 2. Of course, we're speaking of the last of the series of the vile judgments. We had first the seals, then the trumpet judgments. And like I said, at the end of each series, the last of the series opens up into the next series. So I think that logically means that one follows the other, and that these three series of sevens fill up the era between what must shortly come to pass in 96 AD when the revelation was given to John, and fill up that era from then until Christ returns, until we call the consummation, when he returns, when the last trumpet sounds. Now, the last trumpet is not the trumpet judgments. It's a different trumpet, okay? It's not a judgment trumpet, but it's a trumpet that announces the return of Christ in the great day of God Almighty, the consummation, as we call it. And it's the consummation of the age that we are in. Yeah, let's not get mixed up. And so he says, even the image is mentioned. Yes, of course it is. Okay. But you know what's not mentioned there is an expiration date for the effects of this vial. The effects of this vial reach until the end and even the era when the image shows up. Okay. The effects of this, but now we have to say, what is this noisome and grievous sore? What does that mean? What is that a symbol for? Because I believe it's symbolic for some kind of ill, a societal ill, a state of mind, is what's going on in society today. You see all this grievous evil going on. Could you say, spiritually speaking, that it is noisome and it's a grievous sore upon men which have the mark of the beast? Because these people definitely have the mark of the beast and they worship the image. Yeah. Because as I said before, they put the law of the beast and its image, that is the laws of the governments of men, above the law of God. And that is the mark of the beast. Okay. And they have these, delusions going on in their mind, and it's, and they are grievous and noisome to the whole society. So I don't believe this has to be an actual, like, plague like we saw in Egypt. But I believe that these are symptomatic of the ills of our society in these last days. So that's, cause we're talking about, which had the mark of the beast. Well, the beast itself is a symbol. So we're talking about a symbolic prophecy, a prophecy of something which is symbolic in nature. So if we're talking about a beast and an image which are symbolic of the governments of men and things that are like the governments of men in the case of the image, which I believe the image is the United Nations, because it was created by the second beast at the end of World War II, when that second beast, or the seventh beast of the Revelation enumerated, rises to power. Okay. So I hope that answers your question there, and you can see, and I can prove this to you. Let's go down here to, let's say, the sixth vial. Okay. And the sixth vial poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Okay. Now we know the sixth vial was poured out. At least I believe it was poured out. So does E.B. Eliot and many other. I don't know if there's any historicist that doesn't believe it's been poured out. And it says, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. See, and this is still, even though it's another verse, it's still following the sixth angel pouring out his vial, or the sixth vial. It says, for they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So we have here explicitly stated in the sixth vial that the effects of this vial reach to the great day of God Almighty, which is the return of Christ. But even though there is another vial to be poured out before that, the seventh vial must be poured out. Okay? So it's not like each vial has an expiration when the other vial pours out, but the effect of each vial being poured out during the vial's era, it's compounding the judgment and the evil that's coming on the earth with each vial. That's what I see. So that it reaches to when the image of the beast appears. And you could say that it's an image. Before the image was created, the image, if you want to look at it that way too, the image existed in the minds of men. It's kind of like I'm here in the state of California on the land. Now the land is real. It's real land, and it designates an area on the earth that is real. My feet are on the land here, and that's where I live, on the land. But floating over the land in California is a fiction, an image. And the image is called the state of California. It's nowhere. It's not on the land. It's a concept in the minds of men. It's an image that exists only in the minds of men. But we've all agreed on this image as a form of government, or at least the people that that constructed this image agreed on it as a form of government by which men come together corporately and rule. But the image takes on a life of its own. And it becomes like a, you know, it is given life. And that's what the United Nations is. It's like a bigger image that is created, that governs the whole earth now. It's given authority over the whole world in the same way that the Roman Empire had authority over the ten-horned beast locality. You know, those 10 divisions that represented Western Europe, and known as the Roman Empire of the Old World. And so, you know, you could look at it that way too, but, or you could look at it that it reaches till that image appears. Either way, the image is, it pre-existed in the minds of men, but it comes to life because life is given to it by the earth beast. So the image comes to life when that construct is put forward by the earth beast. And so now we have it sitting over there in New York City, the United Nations, where the image has its capital, so to speak. But I believe the real capital of it is Washington, D.C. And that's a, we could start talking about Washington, D.C. Well, I've got an article on my website, and it's, if you go to my homepage at crosstheborder.org, you'll see it there, right in the middle at the top. It says, "The Empire of the City, the Unholy Trinity that Rules the World." And so, yeah, this thing won't let me do that. Won't let me copy links. I can try. Anyway, maybe you're familiar with that article or you're not. Let's see, can I paste that into the chat room? Yes, I can. Okay, so I put a link there to the Empire of the City, and that you can learn a little bit more about what I believe points to the what Washington, D.C. is, and how the world is ruled by the Antichrist. Because in Revelation 16:19, the same chapter, it says, "And the great city was divided into three parts." A lot of people that they believe that there was a great earthquake. Okay. Now we know from, I mean, everyone knows from prophecy past, Old Testament, that when we're speaking of an earthquake, we're speaking of a political, upheaval in the, political heavens. When there's a great shaking in the world scene, we see nations topple. We see lines, being, you know, borders being redrawn. We see kingdoms falling and kingdoms rising up, ruling authorities falling down to the ground and new ones coming up in their place. And that is what is expressed in chapter, Revelation 16, verse 19. So we can scroll down there. And it says, "And the seventh angel," and this is what I believe the seventh vial was poured out at the beginning of the 20th century. "And the seventh angel poured his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, 'It is done.'" So what is done? The seventh vial, the final vial is poured out. That's what's done. It is done. This is the final vial. When this vial accomplishes its work, it is done, right? That's the way I look at it. "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great." So we've learned from history, we've learned from Old Testament prophecy, all of the judgment that God, these are judgment vials. So being judgment vials means there's going to be a political shakeup in the world like there never was before. And that points to the 40-year era, encompassing World War I and World War II, and what came out of that? Redrawing of all of the lines of Western Europe. Yeah. "So mighty an earthquake and so great." such as was never before. Yeah. And it's, then it says, and the great city was divided into three parts. Okay. What's the great city? Well, the great city in context of the Revelation would be the capital of anti-Christendom, which would be the Vatican at Rome. And if it was divided into three parts, a lot of people think that's the judgment, but I don't believe that's the judgment. I believe that that shows us that this great city was divided in three parts by which to rule because of the following statement. Because of the statement that follows it, it says, and the cities of the nations fell. The cities of the nations fell because the great city was divided into three parts. Yes. And that's what we're experiencing now in America. Because America has fallen to Washington, D.C. The power has been taken from the people, and I believe is the lamb-like horn, and given to Washington, D.C., which is the dragon-speaking horn. And it's just, you know, this division between these two horn powers in America has become so expressed today that you cannot ignore it. The divide in America has become so great and so explicitly between that which those that love which it, that which is true and would like to conserve that truth and rule of law, and those that don't. They don't care about anything. They want to believe lies, and if you don't believe their lies, they want to punish you. And because they're in power, they are doing that. Okay? And so the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God. So with what we're having now, the seventh vial era which we're in, Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And that is coming. She's already been punished once. But what was the result of the punishment? They repented not of their murders and their idolatries and their image worship and all of these things. They repented not. Well, it says that every island fled away and the mountains were not found when the judgment comes. Yeah. And there fell upon men great hail out of heaven, everyone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the hail, plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So what is all this symbolic for? I'm not going to go into. But I believe that in my article, I can't say perfectly because I'm just a man, but I think I adequately lay out to give everybody an idea what that earthquake and that division of the great city into three parts and the consequent falling of the nations to that power of the whore that is riding the beast. She exercised overt power, the Vatican did, for 1260 years. She was punished, received the deadly head wound. The deadly head wound received its healing during that same seventh vial era. In 1929, she received her sovereign status back and has been working very hard ever since to regain her sway and control over the whole earth. Everything is not going her way, but she may think it is. But, you know, we see what it says here, that God, yeah, that great Babylon came into remembrance. God's not forgotten her. He is going to remember her to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And we read later on, I believe, a companion verse to this is that the ten horns turn on the whore and burn her with fire. I think we're talking about the same event here that is being expressed here is expressed again later when the ten horns. So it seems that the locality that is represented by the beast with the ten horns is going to turn on her and burn her with fire. And that's during the seventh vial era. Because it's poured out in the seventh vial, which I believe began at the beginning of the 20th century, and the effects of it will be until Christ comes. Okay, so it covers an era, and all of the other vials before it are still in effect and working in the earth. Because the three frog spirits are out there croaking louder and louder, and they get louder and louder and louder until the cacophony that we're hearing now seems to drown out everything else in the world. And that's why you have all of these voices, and it just seems so overwhelming. But what does this tell you? That God's word is true, and that these vile judgments have all been poured out, and here we are at the very end, and we're just waiting for this one event, for her, the great city, which has been divided into three parts and rules the world by those divisions, and the cities of the nations have fell because of that. But God has not forgot, because great Babylon has come into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And that's what we see coming up. And I'm praying for that every day. At the same time, praying for the truth to win in America. The truth that we can keep that equilibrium. You know, those two horns of the American, the one lamb-like and the one dragon-like. That the dragon-like horn does not get larger or overpower the lamb-like horn. Going back to this. And the beast power, the apocalyptic beast powers, and the symbols, the horns being one of these symbols. How does God convey to us the meaning of the horns and what they can mean and what it means when they appear, especially looking back at the previous horns and what happened with them, so that we get an idea of what will happen with a beast that rises up with two horns that are equal in height, and those height never changes. One doesn't come up higher than the other. One isn't plucked out by the other, but they remain the same in the beast throughout its existence until it fades away, which it seems to be that America we see slowly fading from the world scene. Praise God. Yeah. We don't need to police the world. We've done it. We've fulfilled every criterion. So it's good for us if we fade back from the view of the world and we just take care of our own homework and pray for truth to conquer, and that we can keep, you know, not be overtaken by evil in America. So that's something that we can look at from the prophecy and say, yeah, in America, America is not overcome by the evil, but we hold our own against it with those two powers, you know, those two horn powers sticking up together, not one higher than the other, but equally existing, coexisting during its exposure on the world scene. And we, you know, America, as the two-horned earth beast, still has exposure on the world scene. And so the only thing I see is that it fades away. Yeah. There's no destruction announced upon it. There's no overtaking of it going totally. And, you know, the lamb-like horn being plucked out and thrown away or anything, nothing like that. So there's hope there. Yeah. For this nation, because I believe that America has a lot of God's people in it. Yeah. I'm not sure, and maybe more than other parts of the world. There are a lot of true Bible-believing Christians. I don't know how many, but I would say probably on a per capita basis, likely per capita more than anywhere else on earth. Yeah. Just saying. And it would seem that way if we have an equilibrium there, as depicted America being that two-horned earth beast, one being one horn representing lamb, because those are the only two attributes that are given to the lamb, the earth beast, the two-horned earth beast, as one is lamb-like and the other is dragon speaking. And we know that Satan gets his ways in the governments of men, and that he becomes dominant in most of them throughout history, we have seen, so that he does not, that he, it would seem he is dominant because he speaks louder. He's the speaking part. While those that are lamb-like are quiet and they fight back using the spirit and the word of God. But they don't shout people down. They're not like the cacophony of the frog spirits that come out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, and of which false prophet is the Antichrist, because a false prophet cannot be anything other than the antithesis of the true prophet that Israel was waiting for, that was spoken of by their great lawgiver, and that would be Moses. He spoke of the prophet that was to come, that would be like him, but far exceeded him, and that is the Messiah. Jesus was the true prophet and is the true prophet. And so the false prophet is the Antichrist, the man of sin. He is the same, the one and the same. And the beast spirit out of the mouth of the beast is, of course, like I've said, those that put the laws of the government above the laws of God. They worship the beast, whether they get the mark of the beast or not. Yeah. Whether they get the final mark of the beast to buy or sell or not. If you still worship the beast or its image, to worship the image of the beast is to place the laws of that image, you know, to run out because the image said get a vaccine that, you know, because we said you must, then you run out and you do it because you're obeying the image of the beast, which a lot of people, I believe, could have done mistakenly and could repent because of that. And I believe also that people can repent from taking the mark of the beast. But I believe if people think that they take the mark of the beast and they think they're going to repent later, I think it's unlikely they would ever come to that repentance at the same time. Anyway, here comes a break. I hope that answers a lot of questions. And if you have any more, please put them in the chat room or give me a call. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Come here every week on Wednesday morning, and we discuss current events, news, questions, comments, and Bible prophecy, and where we are, and perhaps what's even coming up. And I've written three books on my latest three books on prophecy. And they are The Beast Apocalyptic, which I believe everyone should have if you want a clear understanding about the prophecy. If you don't have, if you don't know what the beast powers and related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation mean and are, then things can be quite confusing. And also I've written an exposition of the Revelation, in the view of Reformed premillennial historicism for the 21st century, so you can get that there too. And then we have the millennium question to close the series out. So there's three books. And I just put a link in the chat room for the Revelation Enigma Decoded, and that is those three books in one volume for a mere $26 plus shipping from Lulu Press. And it's the only place you can get this book. I haven't published it on Amazon. I may publish it later in Amazon as a hardcover edition. But like I said, you can get it for $26. It will help support the broadcast. Almost half of that will help support the broadcast. The rest of it, well, to tell you the truth, I think we get $12 a copy. And so the rest goes to printing and shipping and everybody else that gets their cut on publishing books, because I don't have a printing press here. So, but I have played these entire series on the Audible, and they are available on Audible. If you have an Audible account with Amazon, you can listen to them there. Cause I think you can listen to anything on Audible if you're subscribed to that. So it's there, but I played it here on the air several times, each series or the whole series several times at least, and likely will play them all again if you keep listening, during the week. I'm finishing up a study this week in Jeremiah, Thursday and Friday. But Monday, I'm going to, begin my Audible version of the, volume 3 of the Hori Apocalypticae. Yeah. So I completed it last week. And so I'm going to start to play it over the air. It'll likely take 2 weeks to play because I just played on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so I have 2 hour, like here, in the same time slot on those days. I usually play Bible studies or pre-recorded broadcasts or whatever other series I decide to do during that time. So you should listen during the week. And to get a lot of this information unpacked for yourself, and especially if you don't want to put out the money to buy the book, that Revelation Enigma Decoded Apocalypse Trilogy. Like I said, it has all three of these volumes in it, and likely, I don't know what else, it's more than most people need to understand the Revelation. But I think the opening and closing are important. The millennium question is big today because we're coming up close to that time when we will have a millennium or we won't have a millennium. Yeah. So according to the amillennials, Jesus doesn't get a millennial reign of Christ to close out, this creation, this 7,000 year creation. He doesn't get that. They're taking that away from him. Kind of in the same way that the dispensationalists ripped the 70th week away from Jesus, because, you know, he lived, because he appeared in the 69 weeks unto Messiah, the prince. And okay, he was the prince, the son of God, when he was born, but he didn't qualify for the Messiah position because the Messiah is a high priest. He's the highest priest, okay? But by the law, he had to be 30 years old. And Luke said that recorded for us in the book of Luke is that Jesus began to be 30 years old. He was in his 30th year. He qualified. So that's when he appeared as the Messiah. The 69th week came to an end. And according to the historicists, 70 follows 69. So that means that the week that followed the 69th week was the 70th week. They didn't skip a week. Yeah. No, it didn't. They didn't go 69, 71. It goes 69 and 70. So Jesus was here. He appeared in the 70th week. That's right. And it was the final week decreed for the nation and the people and the city. Yeah. You can read that in Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks prophecy. The final week was the Messiah's week. You can't take it away from him and give it to the Antichrist, who's not even mentioned in the text anywhere. Your name and where you're calling from? Well, okay. I think sometimes they don't like what I'm, this person doesn't like what I'm saying. Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to figure out what someone's thinking when all they do is call you to interrupt you. But I was completing that thought. So anyway, back to it. What else do we got? Oh yeah. So anyway, the Revelation Enigma decoded. There it is. You can go to my website too at crosstheborder.org. Or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. They both land in the same place. And you can see in the upper right-hand corner, it says 3-in-1 volume. No matter what page you're on, the Revelation Enigma decoded, and you can click on that, and it'll take you there where you can buy the book if you want. And it'll help support the broadcast. Plus, if you're interested in prophecy, you likely will have to read the whole thing. And you won't be able to put it down, hopefully, that I've done an adequate enough job to make that for you. And I have a gift for everyone that's listening now, another book I wrote back in 2017 and updated and retitled in 2020, I believe, and that is The Abraham Accord. I'm going to put a link to it in the chat room right now. It's a PDF version, so this is my gift to everybody who's listening right now. See, that's three times true motives of the phantom caller revealed via subtlety. Help me out there. I'm not sure what that means, Jesuit friends. Or Jesuit fiends. It looks like friends when you first look at it. Jesuit fiends. And yes, he's calling them Jesuit fiends, the shadow government that works for the Antichrist, because they are the top tier. They are the organizers of everything they allow you to see working in the world, because they don't want to be seen to working in the world. They learned their lesson from the time that the seat of the beast was, the vial was poured out on the seat of the beast, which we were talking about earlier. Yes, because the Vatican, the papacy, anti-Christendom of the was out there burning heretics, that is true Bible believers, who had the audacity to put the Bible above the Pope. Yeah. And people who wouldn't accede to transubstantiation and purgatory and praying to saints and the Mother of God, that false false Mary. Yeah, just like they have their false Christ, they have a false Mary. Yeah, so people wouldn't do that. They would burn them at the stake or, you know, commit genocide on them, whatever it took. Yeah, it didn't matter. But anyway, so there's a free gift for you. The Abraham Accord, harbinger of the Temple Mount play about to begin. So kind of what you can expect when no one is raptured, because the rapture fantasy is counter-reformation eschatology made to turn Protestants into non-protesting evangelicals. Good job, by the way. Yeah. They did a really good job of that. They turned Protestants into non-protesting evangelicals. Read all about it and read about it for free. And because this is a gift to you, you can send it to everyone in your mailing list or post it on your media. Let people read it. Let them make up their own minds. Now, a lot of these really diehard dispensationalists, they would like to burn this book, and they won't give it to anybody because they don't want people to see and make up their own mind. Because a lot of them, I think, know that there's something wrong, but because they're doing so well and so popular by the fallacy of the secret pre-tribulation rapture, that they don't want people to read something that might make them question it and give them enough information that they can, you know, overthrow it in their mind using God's word, that is, because that's what we want, God's word. Okay, let's see. Okay, whoever you is in the chat room is, still not giving us a name there. Anyway, thank you for those questions. And if you have any more, you need any more clarity, please put it in the chat room so I can take care of that for you. But like I said, not this book, but the other one. The Revelation Enigma Decoded, all three volumes of that, or this one itself, The Beast Apocalyptic. If you don't get anything else, you can get this on Amazon or Lulu. So, if you read this, it'll straighten out, I think, all of those questions that you posted in the chat room, and do it from God's word, I believe, satisfactorily. At least that's the point. You know, that's the point, because I only want the truth. And if I found out that historicism was wrong, well, then I would become something else, whatever I found to be correct in place of it, because I came out of the whole left behind thing, early to mid 70s. I read The Late Great Planet Earth, and, I was taken aback by it, and believed everything that it said, because everyone around me believed it, and they were teaching it from the pulpit. And I thought, wow, this is what the Bible says, because they showed me by conjecture how it appeared in the Bible. But I didn't realize that it was only conjecture, meaning it was only speculation. Yeah. And that I was believing a speculation as the truth. That's what I believed. But I figured that out later when God called me to start teaching out of his word. And then I had to take it serious. It's kind of stupid. I didn't take it serious enough before. But I thought, okay, I believe all this. Now I have to show people, like I was shown, I thought, in the Bible. But when I went to find it in the Bible, I couldn't find it. It was there by conjecture, but there was not one explicit statement in a Bible to back up a secret pre-tribulation rapture, or even the great tribulation period of 7 years. There's nothing in the Bible to back that up either. That's another construct that's part of, I call it the 7-year tribulation deception, that all of the calamity from the seven seals that supposedly were to, you know, shortly come to pass or begin to commence immediately in 96 AD, were reserved now for a 7 or 3.5 year period yet to appear in the future. So that the Bible says nothing about anything from 96 AD until Jesus comes back in a secret rapture. Then the Bible, then the revelation starts. But how is that shortly come to pass? They read shortly come to pass and they think, well, shortly come to pass from when I read it. Oh, that makes sense. It's all about you. That's right. God didn't write the Bible for the people that lived at the turn of the century, 96 AD, second century. He didn't write it for them. He wrote it for you because he knew you would appear in the 21st century. Ah, yeah. Forget all those people back then. It's not about them. Revelation has nothing to do with them. That's what they believe. How could you believe something else? You know, that's what they have to believe. But it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that I believed it, but I was, you know, following their narrative, and because I wasn't diving deep in the scripture. But like I said, when, you know, in 1995, 96, when God, you know, I felt God call to, you know, start studying the Bible on the air. You know, it's kind of like jumping in the water with both feet and beginning just to open up the book and read it and comment on it. That's what I was doing. And that's what the preachers used to do. They'd used to open the book, they'd read a little bit, and they'd comment on it. And the people be edified because you're reading on what the book actually says. So employing that, you know, method, the Bible teaching, I couldn't find a pre-tribulation rapture to save my life or to save, to save Left Behind and dispensationalism. I couldn't find a pre-tribulation rapture to save dispensationalism to save my belief. So I had to throw it away and say, okay, well, I'm only going with what the Bible explicitly tells me. You know, somewhere it at least has to explicitly tell me something. But when I find, you know, it's like I have, I read a lot of articles from this guy here writing, from, rev310.net, because rev310 is one of their conjectured rapture scriptures, right? And so I read a lot of stuff even from the other camp to keep up on what are they telling their people today? If they're not telling them anything new, I mean, would they ever read a trilogy? Would they even open their mind enough to read a trilogy or even The Beast Apocalyptic? Because it would overthrow everything they're saying, because it would have to overthrow if they knew the truth about, you know, the meaning of the beast symbols and the related symbols of Daniel and the Revelation and how they're to be understood in the Revelation. Then they wouldn't know what to do with the Revelation. That's why I like the amillennials. They do nothing with the Revelation except deny it. They don't even want to accept historicism, because if you accept historicism, you're going to have to drop the amillennial thesis sooner or later, because that's another one that's made up out of whole cloth or only conjectured from the scripture, because it's a thesis that is not stated explicitly anywhere in the entire Bible. It only exists by conjecture and speculation. So I tell them, okay, well, you know, if it turns out it's a speculation, I'll give you that. Your thesis sounds pretty cool, you know. But, and so if it comes to pass, then I'll admit to it. But until then, I can't find anything in the scripture that explicitly upholds it. So I can't go with it. Sorry. That's the way it works for me. I got to have at least something explicit. Now for an actual 1,000 years, I have 6 times in Revelation chapter 20 where it is expressed 1,000 years. And then I have supporting in 2 Peter chapter 3. I have support there. And then I'm able to harmonize the entire scripture with chapter 20, which is the final or last revelation. So according to progressive revelation, you know, that which comes later clarifies that which came earlier. It's not vice versa. You use the later to understand that which came earlier, because progressive revelation is progressive. It is not regressive. And that's what the amillennials have to believe, that chapter 20 of the revelation is not progressive, it's regressive. But there's nothing regressive about God's revelation, because every new book of the Bible, as it came out, may have contained prophecy fulfilled and expressed as fulfilled in it, which we see in much of the New Testament. We see the expression of much of the prophecy that was given in the Old Testament being expressed as fulfilled in the New Testament. So which one explains the other? Which one's progressive? It has to be progressive. You can't regress with more revelation. You can only progress. And that's one of the tenets of good hermeneutics, is the progression of the revelation from God to us, that we learn more. And that which comes later clarifies that which came earlier. It is not vice versa, but that is what the amillennials try to do. They try to clarify the Old Testament by using the Old they try to clarify the revelation by that which came earlier. Yeah, it's a little backwards. What they should do, and they could do quite easily, because I know they're not idiots and stupid, but they could harmonize everything that they're using to tear down the millennium. They could take it and they could harmonize every verse instead to uphold the millennium, because that's what I do. Every verse they use to tear it down, I use instead to uphold it. And they could do that just as easily, because I find it quite easy and quite successful to do. And that's what I do in my book, The Millennium Question, which is part of the that trilogy book, because the trilogy, yeah. So these are the big questions today on, and I'm not popular at all. People don't like it. They want to escape, because they have in their mind that all of these plagues are literal, because even if they're expressed as being symbolic of some evils in the world and not literal sores, okay? They want to believe that it's all the symbols until you get to chapter 20 of the Revelation, then the thousand years must be symbolic. Has to be. Everything else has to be literal. Yeah, until you get to that one phrase, the thousand years. And I ironed that out so completely in the Millennium Question, I don't believe that there's any question I left unanswered in that book, or any objection is left unanswered. Though I do see on some of their sites the same tired old things being brought up over and over again, which might be a difficult for people who haven't studied it as deeply as I have, or haven't read my book, to cope with, or seem reasonable to people. But it's not. Yeah, it's still conjecture, and it's still only a thesis and speculation. That's the best that I can say about it. Anyway, we're coming up on the other end of the hour here. I don't see any more comments or questions, so hopefully I answered everyone adequately, any concerns. But all that information's there for you, or just keep coming back to the broadcast. Like I said, starting Monday, I'll be doing the Audible. I'll be playing the Audible version of the Hori Apocalyptikae Volume 3. So that brings us really close to home and the era we're living in completely by the end of it. And I'm beginning to work on Volume 4. Now I'm just rereading again before I jump back in and do the Audible on it. So have to read it first, then do it. Then you have to correct. Yeah, it's a lot of work, people. And yeah, I just count on the Lord to through his people, provide for me and my family as we do this work and provide all these resources for you. So all glory and honor belongs to him forever and ever. Amen. So may the Almighty bless you and keep you until we meet again. I'll see you next time.